for Jim.
I certainly need it. I certainly need prayers with a subject like that. We bring you greetings from Big Creek Baptist Church in Wayne, West Virginia. Our text verse is found in Matthew chapter 7. 35 minutes, that's pretty nice, Sam. That does give me a time to get my jitters a little bit by thanking the church for their hospitality. Just being able to come together like this and not have to go our separate ways after each session or whatever, just spending time together in fellowship is really truly a blessing that you've bestowed upon each and every one of us that are visiting here. I know, in a way, it's selfish that you're doing it for yourself, too, and you deserve it. Y'all have worked hard, and I pray that God will bless the Grace Baptist Church for this Bible conference, and that you might, He might bless each and every one of you, that you go forth from here enriched by the fellowship and the songs, the prayers, and the preaching of God's Word. I love coming down here. Last year I wasn't here. I turned 50 last year. And my wife wouldn't let me go, so I thought something was going on. Yeah, surprise birthday party. Surprise. I was surprised, though. But I really missed being down here. And the last few years that I've come down, I've had a great friend of mine come with me. And y'all know Brother Jimmy Hobbs, Jr. And Brother Sam's message was appropriate. I've done some weeping this past year. When we say goodbye to loved ones, I've kept one of his voicemails that I listen to every once in a while so I can weep again. And I know when I look in the back of your program and I see Sister Chris there, I know what it is to lose someone that's precious to you. And I know you do too. And I pray that God will continue to give us grace. I do ask that you pray for the Big Creek Baptist Church. We have a mission work in West Jefferson, Ohio. And we've been praying for a long time that the Lord would give us a building there. And right close to Columbus, Ohio, there's not any sound churches in that area. And just this past spring, the Lord gifted us with some property. I say gifted, it was just a stone's throw from our storefront. And the price was brought down to something we could afford, and we're in the process of getting ready to build there, and we covet your prayers for that because we don't have enough money right now. But we've got enough money to get started. And so we're starting, and we're trusting the Lord to build, and pray that the Lord will be with us as we do that. Pray that the Lord will be with Brother Roger Reed as he pastors that mission work for us. Sometimes he worries too much, I tell him. I think God's going to take care of everything. Every step of the way. You know, I've just seen doors open, and I'm saying, wow, what a great God we serve. What a marvelous God we serve. And God's going to take care of our needs. But you remember the mission work there. You remember the Big Creek Baptist Church, West Jefferson Baptist Mission, and pray the Lord to bless us there. I did, my wife's not here right now, so I can point her out. Brother Sam's message, he said that a lot of things we're supposed to weep for. And, you know, you weep when the Lord saves you. The Lord saves one of your loved ones. But one thing he did, Becky's already got covered. He said, he wept when the Lord called him to preach. And I started to say something about, I wept too when the Lord called Brother Sam to preach. But my wife already has that covered. Has she ever wept since I've been called to preach? And, you know, so you pray for my wife too. Matthew chapter 7, and verse number 6, it says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." It is an interesting, if you've got the paragraph markings in your Bible, that's it. That's, you know, the context here is judge not that you be not judged, and be not a hypocrite, and, you know, take care of the things in your own life before you take care of that. And then afterwards, it says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. And there's great promises given to God's people there about that. But right smack dab in the middle of that, and sometimes I don't know what to do with it, and sometimes I think I do. And I've had about 5 outlines, and I'm not sure that the outline that I have yet I'll still be able to follow. It is a difficult yet interesting passage, but I'm hoping to give you a few pearls this afternoon that you might be able to take from this, and it might be of some spiritual benefit to you. The alternate text that I'd also like to read with this is over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 46. Verse 45 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This one pearl of great price. You know, as I'm studying and struggling about the message I have here, cast not your pearls before swine, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And I'm wondering about those pearls, and I'm wondering about what they are. And in the context of our message and our Bible conference here, go ye into all the world, the gospel is going to come into it for sure. But as I was comparing this text with Matthew chapter 13, this one pearl of great price, what is it? And you know, there might be some people that would throw up their hands and give up different answers about what it is. It might be the sovereign grace, might be the doctrines of grace, might be some church truth that you have. It might be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, let me tell you, the one pearl of great price is Jesus Christ. He sold all that he had. And every time the Lord saves someone, Jesus Christ comes in. Everything else is nothing. Everything else is cast aside as... And he sold all that he had for this one pearl of great price. As Brother Chris was preaching through his message, and as Brother Sam was going through, and all of the preachers before that have preached on the marvelous gift that is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave this week and wonderful pearl of precious price to you and to me. What is Christ to you? If you go out of that door after the sermons we've heard this morning and don't weep over what God has given you, shame on you and me for our hard hearts. For Jesus Christ. But you know, in our text in Matthew chapter 7, it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. It's plural. Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price, but Jesus Christ has given us many pearls. You know, that was the occupation of that merchant, was to go about buying and selling pearls. And as he bought and sold pearls, he said, boy, that one's pretty good. And he would want that one. And he'd find another one here. I haven't really seen one that looks like that before. That'll fetch a good price. But when he found that one pearl of great price, all the other pearls became nothing. And he sold them for Jesus Christ. Sold out for Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ turns around and gives him his pearls back. Can you see that? You know, when we sell out for Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is our one and only, he's our all, then Jesus Christ so miraculously, so marvelously, everything that we said we're going to give up, everything that is precious to us, you think about your family, you think about your wife and your children, and you sacrifice them to the Lord, and the Lord turns around and gives them back to you again. His pearls. I'm just going to preach on two pearls. Like I said, there could be a lot of pearls we could preach on here. The pearl of the Lord's church and the pearl of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 2, it's a verse that you probably have memorized, and I would have these marked except that I didn't have this outline until just a few minutes ago. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. These pearls that the Lord has given us have to, you know, the word I think of, and I guess I'm going to use for my message this afternoon, is holy. They've been sanctified, been set aside, set aside for a particular purpose to glorify the Lord. And that's what the Lord's church is. The Lord's church, what is it to you? It should be a precious pearl to you. It should be one of the most precious things that you have in the world. I don't understand how someone can love the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved, be transformed into a child of God, and not love the Lord's church. Until the Lord reveals it to him. But you that have been, it been revealed to, and you that have become members of the Lord's church, how can you miss one of the Lord's services and not feel guilty about it? How can you miss one of the Lord's services and it not be a hole in your life? A Wednesday night service, the Lord won't mind if I miss this. What is the mentality that would say the Lord won't mind if I miss a service of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Christ is going to be there. Brother Chris finished up with that cry on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We think about the terrible position that Christ found himself in, being made sin for us who knew no sin. And he became sin for us. And that cry on the cross was not the Lord questioning the Lord. God saying, why have you forsaken me? It's for our benefit. He says, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you would never have to be forsaken. Because you deserve to be forsaken. As he brought out the Lord's church should have a holy membership. It should have a membership that's dedicated to him and him alone. You know, when somebody's sick in our family, I understand, why does it take the whole family to take care of that little one? You know, when something's going on, and I understand, and in your life, there's a couple that went to church when I was a member out of Heritage, and they come to church for a while, and they quit coming to church. We went to go visit them, and they said, well, everything started going wrong in our lives, so we figured the Lord wasn't in it. You know, in your life, when everything starts going wrong, that should drive you to church. That precious pearl of great price that Jesus Christ is has given you a pearl of the Lord's church. Revelation 19:7, when it talks about the bride being married to the great pearl, says his wife hath made herself ready. She's understood the value of the pearl of the Lord's church. Now think about, you know, it's our responsibility not to cast our pearl before swine. It's our responsibility to make sure our church is separated. The title of my message is, along with the theme of the conference, is Go Ye Into All the World, But Keep the World Out of the Church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, but keep the world out of the church. Brother Matthew, you mean don't invite lost people in the church? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this pearl of great price, don't cast what is holy before the dogs, and don't cast your pearl before swine. Keep it separate. Keep it protected. Keep it where the world can't get to the church, the institution. They'll come in as visitors. I was talking to several men, you know, about folks that come visit, and if they happen to come visit when we're having the Lord's Supper, guess what? Cast not that which is holy unto, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. I'm glad you're here to observe the Lord's Supper. And you know, we can be as frank as we want to and say, well, but you can't partake of the Lord's Supper. Or you can say it, the Lord's Supper is reserved for those members that have kept themselves holy. You know, we're not going to cast the pearl before the swine. We're not going to give that which is holy unto the dogs. Whether you're talking about the Lord's Supper, I want you to see this afternoon. I'm talking about the church in particular. It is necessary for us to keep the church pure. There should be no alien baptism. There should not be no anything except believers' baptism. You know, I appreciated Brother John's warning about hard shellism. You know, really, I don't know if it's different in different places, and I talk to different preachers, and they're really pounding against hard shells because there's some of them around there. There's really not that many hard shell churches around where we are, but we're surrounded by Arminian churches on every hand. And so perhaps it's easier for me to get upset at them. I appreciate the way John brought that out. Hard shells aren't the problem. Hard shellism is what the problem is in ourselves. And that we don't keep that which is pure. But that's my second point about the gospel, so we don't want to get on that. This first point is mostly against Arminianism. It's mostly against those that open up the doors of the church. They're trying to get the numbers in. They're trying to get people, and they're casting their pearl of the Lord's church before the swine, and they're opening up the doors to lost people, those that they can wring confessions out of. They're filling the seats of the church up with goats. And I don't have a problem with goats being in the seats, but they shouldn't be in the Lord's church. It's precious. It's not something to be lightly taken. Church discipline should be exercised in our churches. When we have immorality in our midst, when we have heresy in our midst, we are the pearl of great price that Christ has given us in the church is becoming sullied. It's becoming dirty. And we need to practice discipline. You want to give a vote to a goat? You want to give a voice to a dog? You want to let the swine speak up with their doctrines? Do you want them to sing a song? A ditty? Whatever it is, not in the Lord's church. Cast not your pearls before swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. The church must remain separate from the world. The churches must remain separate from the world. The gospel that Jesus Christ gives us, I appreciate it, each and every one that's mentioned the gospel, and go ye into all the world. You know, my title is, go ye into all the world, but keep the world out of the church. The second point, when we get to the part of the gospel, and this is perhaps where this passage becomes difficult, cast not your pearls before the swine. I don't know whether they're swine, I don't know whether they're lost sheep, you know, that's already been covered. I don't know, we don't know what the elect are. You can't pick them up and then look at the bottom of the feet. Oh, there's a golden E there, I'm going to preach the gospel to him. He's one of God's elect. God didn't do that for us. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know, as we go forth, and so are we casting our pearls before swine? Are we casting our pearls before that? That's not really the thought that I'm getting from the passage here. The gospel goes to all. Really, the pearl of great price of the gospel, and I may get some disagreement on that, but I believe it's sovereign grace. I believe in my, you know, and I've talked to people about this, and they don't necessarily agree. Some don't, and some do. But to me, the gospel. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I know everybody goes there, and that's the gospel in a nutshell. They say the death, burial of Jesus Christ. Well, as we were talking about it last night, if you just tell somebody about the story of Jesus Christ as a martyr, it's no different than telling the story about Stephen as a martyr. It's no different from telling the other. There's got to be more to it than that, and there is. And as Apostle Paul is using that as the core of the gospel, he's pointing the people to the cross of Christ, the pearl of great price. And I think Brother Sam even summed it up better than I did. He said, what you got to do is preach against sin. The knowledge of sin is the core of the gospel. That's why total depravity comes first. That's why when Brother Chris Wallace got up here to preach on what he preached here, the whole first half of his message, he was preaching about hellfire. He was preaching about damnation. He was preaching about condemnation. All the things that Joel Osteen hates. And you know, halfway through his message, when he was getting to his second point, and he said, now the gospel. That's the good news. You know, everything else but up to that point has been bad news. But that's the gospel. The bad news is the wages of sin is death. I went past the church sign the other day, and you know, I tend to look at those. It says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what the sign said. And I'm thinking, well, that's familiar. It's missing something. Yeah, it's missing the first part of the verse. Nobody wants to write up the wages of sin is death. All they want to write up is the gift of God is eternal life. You've missed the whole point if you don't have the first part on there. What's God going to save you from if you don't know about death? The pearl of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's become polluted in this day and age by the Arminians. By the Arminianism in you and me. If Brother John can do that, and he can turn hardshellism into a verb, I'm going to turn Arminianism into a verb today. And I'm going to say that we need to search our hearts and our minds also to make sure there's no zero Arminianism in me and you. You know, Arminianism is another gospel that is accursed. And if God has saved you in your past by someone that's so-called Arminian, I understand that. I know a lot of folks that have been saved in Arminian churches. But let me tell you something. They've been saved in spite of the fact that they were in Arminian churches. In spite of the fact. You know what the word in spite of means? Just a small illustration here to show you my utter hatred for Arminianism in any form whatsoever. In spite of. When a woman goes down to the doctor's office and asks him for an abortion, and the doctor performs an abortion and murders that baby, you know where that baby goes? Immediately to heaven. In spite of the house that it was in. In spite of the terrible actions. In spite of the motives of those that performed the abortion. God, in spite of each and every person that's been involved in this atrocity called abortion, is filling the halls of heaven with saints that are going to be there when we get there. If you want to support Arminianism, the evil that it is, it's the same thing as going down there and thinking, well, if God's going to save all of those that abort, let's kill them all. Who would ever conceive of such a terrible atrocity? Well, let's kill them all then. That way we're sure they'll go to heaven. That is what I think in my heart of anyone that supports Arminianism. That's the picture. Are people saved in Arminian churches? Yes, in spite of what they're doing. Are there good people in Arminian churches that God has allowed to stay there for His reasons and His decrees and His purposes? Yes, there are. And they might even preach the gospel by reading the scriptures. But not the Arminian gospel. They've read the grace of God to you. Brother John, they gave you the grace of God. They didn't give you Arminian doctrine. They can't do anything for you. And I know that's why it comes down to personal evangelism. They don't have no pearl of great price of the church, but they do still yet, those individuals still have that pearl of the gospel. But it's got to be pure or it don't work. If you follow their doctrine through that says, Jesus loves you, all you've got to do is come to me, repeat this prayer, you're good. You've made them twofold more a child of hell than yourself. The Bible says. You know, that's what the Pharisees were, was Arminians. They said, do this, do this, do this, and you're saved. But we've got to keep the pearl of the gospel clean. Don't cast it before the swine. Keep that which is holy from the dogs. We've got to call them dogs. Now, we don't go knock on their door over there, that Arminian church, and say, hey, y'all, a bunch of dogs in there. Hey, y'all, your foolishness. Your gospel's accursed. But you better warn your family about them. Because your daughter might grow up and start to date one of those Arminians. Your son might grow up and cast pearl before swine. The pearls that God has given us. You know, there's more pearls than just the two I'm talking about. Your children are your pearls. Are you going to cast him before swine? Give that which is holy unto the dogs? Are we not even concerned anymore? What a terrible thing that we would fail in keeping our pearls pure before God. I understand that when they get to that age, we can't do everything for them. And sometimes they'll go off and they'll end up in Arminian churches. My son's there right now. I'm weeping. Breaks my heart. And I know every family here knows that. We can't, but we can fall down and pray. We can use our knees. You know, I preached a message just a few weeks ago. Brother Arvo Waddell, I was talking to him up in Cortland. He said, at Big Creek Baptist Church, how do you get your church to grow? Well, you can go door-to-door knocking. You can send out gospel tracts, these other things that are very useful things. But I told him, if you really want Sovereign Grace Baptist Church to grow, if you really want Grace Baptist Church to grow here, you need to pray. Stephen, you were there with me. I didn't get that part of the message to Arville that he needed, that I need. We need to pray that God will give us the words. We need to pray that God will give us the opportunities. What's the use of knocking from door to door if you haven't prayed beforehand and said, God, whoever's on the other side of that door, give them a heart to hear the word. I call that morning prayer. Before you go, pray. Before you start your day, pray. God, use me! I also tell Big Creek Baptist Church the most dangerous prayer in the world you can pray is, God, use me. That's why I want him to pray it. I want him to live on the edge of danger. Because if you ask God to use you, he's going to give you opportunities to glorify his name. Ask the Lord to use you. And then after you've knocked that door and you talk to that person and their heart's hard, you've given somebody a tract and they've looked at it and their eyes glazed over and said, yeah, I'll read it, and they put it in their pocket, and you know they won't. Do you? What you need to do is go home for evening prayer. Go home and hit your knees. Hit your knees. Spiritually, you don't have to do it physically. You can do it while you're driving down the road, while you're thinking about this person, while you're thinking about what God has used you in that day. I call it evening prayer. Before you put your head down on your pillow, before you're finished with your day, ask the Lord to use what you've done that day to his glory and his honor. That the pearls might not be before swine. They might not be before the dogs, but they might have been before sheep that God will use to his glory and to his honor. You know, ultimately, we failed if we don't pray. Ultimately, none of our work is of any use if we don't pray. What is prayer? You can say it's talking to God. It's an open line communication of God. What prayer really is, if you just boil it down to its essence, is turning your mind and your heart towards God. A lot of times you've got to shut out the world to do that. Sometimes you need your closet there, your war room. Sometimes you've got to go and separate yourself from the world. That's what it takes sometimes. But to pray without ceasing is a vital part of evangelism. To pray, as my brother Paul was talking about those people that was videotaping that person dying, and said, he's going to die. And he brought it very, very, very clear to us. You know, that's what's happening in this world. But you know, I thought about it. You know what I did immediately? He was talking about that. I started hating those boys instead of praying for them. My heart was pricked. I felt utter contempt for those that Brother Sam was talking about. And perform the atrocities and laugh about it instead of weeping. You know, if we would only understand the compassion of Christ, the gift of Christ, that pearl of great price, that we would see what pearls we have are precious, necessary, without comparison in this world. What would you not give for that pearl of great price? What would you not sacrifice for that pearl of great price? The one that gave his all for you. Sometimes we say that so often, I can see eyes glaze over. The one that gave his all for you. Now go back and read Matthew chapter 27. Go back and read Mark chapter 15. Go back and read Luke chapter 23. Go back and read the Word of God. What Jesus Christ did for us. You know, from our perspective, and I know God's sovereign. God knows who the swine are. God knows who the dogs are. But we don't. Our perspective, who is the gospel meant for? Sovereignly speaking, the gospel is meant for God's sheep. From God's perspective. But from our perspective, the gospel is meant for all. We can make no difference there. That's who it's meant for. That's who it was given to us for, this pearl of great price. Who should we desire salvation for? Now there's a difference here. I've got two columns, our perspective, God's perspective. In this second column, who should we desire salvation for? I tell you what, who God desires salvation for is His children. And God does not desire salvation for all. If He did, He'd save all. But in our column over here, who do you desire salvation for? Everybody except for Charles Manson, Adolf Hitler. You got your own list? Can't have a list. Saul of Tarsus, who wants to save him? I just want to give him what for. I just want to crunch him for all he's done. And God saved him. A burden for which lost. In God's column, His sheep. Us, again, it has to be all. It must be all. Not just because we want to, because we finally see the terrible need, the terrible condition of each and every person that is lacking Jesus Christ. Missionaries. You know who God sends missionaries out for? To find His sheep. And when He finds them, He puts them on His shoulder and brings them back into the fold. But you know who the missionaries go out for? Again, every answer in the first column has to be all. Every answer in the first column, you know, the second column, the swines and dogs are not in God's column, except as a savor of death and to death. I understand that. Condemnation. But all those that are in that first column is what our Sunday school teacher calls dirty, rotten sinners. He says when he's ready to go out the door, who's God looking for? Dirty, rotten sinners like you and me. That's the only kind of person that God's ever saved. He's never saved a good person in his life. He's never saved a righteous man in his life. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. I'm sorry, Brother Andy, if I didn't preach that sermon the way it was supposed to come out there. But see what you've got is precious. See the gifts that God gives you are beyond our scope of even imagining how precious they are. And one of these days when we get to glory, we'll see what Christ has fully done for us. For all of eternity past and all of eternity future, that one pearl of great price and the pearls that He's given us, keep them precious. Keep them special. Don't let the world get in the church. Don't let the world get in your doctrine. Don't let the world sully your pearls of great price. They're God's gift to each and every one of us. May the Lord bless His words.